Well, hello again. Welcome back to another episode of Women of Purpose. Welcome, beloved. It's good to see you all again. I hope you had a blessed week this past week, and I am Reverend Dr. Cynthia Woods, a licensed professional clinical counselor. And this month has been the month of mental health awareness. There's been so much going on, beloved, in the nation, in the country, and even in our own city, so much with mental health. You know, previously I've come on with different topics about suicide prevention and how to manage anxiety and stress and how to integrate both spirituality and psychology together. And so it's been a journey, but it's been a good journey, and I thank God for being here today. So we want to continue on talking about spirituality and mental health, and I have another wonderful woman of God here with me today, who she has been doing wonderful things in the community. She has brought so many wonderful services in the community to help people struggling with addiction, alcohol and substance use addiction, and mental health services. So I want you to welcome with me Anita Bradley, CEO of Northern Ohio Recovery Association, better known as NORA. Welcome, Anita. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes. It is an honor to have you on the show here with me today on Women of Purpose, so you can share with us all about your journey and how you got started with wanting to help people. Tell us, because that's a very large task, a calling.
Yes, it is.
It's a calling. Yes, all that you have done, you have an agency, a behavioral health agency here in Cleveland. And tell us a little bit about your agency, what you do.
Wow. So been in business for 17 years. We are a behavioral health organization with different departments. Everything we do is related to behavioral health around helping people with their mental health disorders or their substance use disorder. Adolescents, adults, you know, women with children, and now men in our residential program. So, you know, it's been an honor to be called to do this work, but it is certainly just that. It is work some days, but the gratification from seeing people get their lives together makes it all worth the while.
Yes, it does. Yeah. It's a reward, isn't it? It's a reward when you can see people turn their lives around or either help to supply the means to that they can make a difference.
Yes.
Things don't have to continue on the way that they are. They don't have to stay trapped, so to speak, mm-hmm. in that addiction mm-hmm. or having some mental health issues and not get the help that they need. Mm-hmm. So tell us, how did you get started in the helping profession?
The truth of the story is my own personal experience with substance use.
Share that with us.
Cocaine in the 80s, and I got clean in 1990. So I celebrated 32 years of uninterrupted sobriety on May 8th.
Yes. Praise God. So that's wonderful.
That's a blessing. And so it wasn't even like something. I was not going to college to be a behavioral health specialist. Was going to law school. Thought about going to law school. So I have a criminal justice is my major.
Okay.
And then ended up in social work administration in the management track. But so my personal experience led one of my counselors to ask me to come back to the center that where I went to treatment at to work for them. Uh-huh. And I started as a secretary. Okay. And I answered the phone, for a couple years. And then that's when I went back to get the master's degree. Well, I had to finish up the bachelor's first. I was mm-hmm. almost done. I was a junior when I dropped out at Kent. Okay. And then I went back and received the master's. And because I wanted to work, I was in the field. And I just decided that, you know, I would just put one foot in front of the other. And so, you know, one foot in front of the other, here I am.
Here you are. Isn't that something, though, how God will meet us where we're at in our place of need and spring forth life and blessings out of that? And
yes.
so
good.
Isn't he?
Yes,
he's awesome.
Is. He is.
You know, we think that we're headed down a path of destruction, but It just takes that small window of opportunity to help turn you around. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what that was for you, to help turn you around and change and made a difference?
Yes.
Yeah. We never forget, do
yeah.
we?
Oh, yeah. We oh, yeah. So forget. The moment. Yeah, the moment was it's pretty painful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty painful. So, but I'm pretty, open with those. So I actually had a miscarriage. And I was drinking and using. And prior to that, I had blamed, people, places, and things. It's this problem. It's because of my mom. It's because of my dad. It's all this other stuff. But I couldn't blame anybody for that. Mm-hmm. Nothing but the problem, which was the alcohol and drugs. Because mm-hmm. it was nothing. It was because I wasn't taking care of myself. And so at that moment, I think God gave me the light turned on, hey, you have to handle this situation. It's between me and you.
That's
me
right.
and the Lord.
That's
yeah,
right.
It's me and him
your
now.
Attention.
Yeah, he got my attention. And so, and I told him, promised him that I would do whatever was suggested to get myself together. I'm going to cry.
It's okay.
And that I would follow him.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful story.
That's what I've been doing.
That's a beautiful story. He does.
That's just the truth.
That's a beautiful story. He meets us right where we're at.
Yeah.
Right where we're at. And he gets our attention. And he's just waiting. Just come to me, daughter.
Yeah.
Just come to me.
So glad I came. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I just remember that I promised him. Mm-hmm. And that I'm going to look back and try to help someone else. And that's what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. And you have such a big heart. A big heart.
Oh,
let me just, her heart is so huge. She will help anyone at any time. If she can give them a job, or she'll create a job, or she will open doors to help others. You are truly a giver. You have the gift of helps. One of the spiritual gifts of helps. That's you.
Really?
That's you.
Really?
Yeah.
I think to a fault. I think to a fault sometimes.
But you do. You will. You just will. Make a way, your reach back. They always talk about pay it forward. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you reach back too. Mm-hmm. You reach back and you want to let the person know that it doesn't have to be this way. There's something more. There's something better. You can change your life. There's something more. Mm-hmm. And then when people see that bright light, mm-hmm.
That's what it's about.
And you're encouraging.
That's what it's about. That's why we're here. Is to shine a light for someone that doesn't even know there is a light.
Right.
What I mean? Because it's just sometimes life can be very, very heavy on us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so we have to shine it a little bit at a time until they see it for themselves and can catch on. Mm-hmm. And then they go forward. And when you see them, you know this, when you see them, blossom into these beautiful women and these handsome men, and you're like, yes, I was a part of that journey.
Exactly.
And that's something that money can't buy.
It's so rewarding.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You talked about the money and the resources, but the resources are only enable us to do the work.
Yes.
To do the mission and the ministry. If we give out blankets, we need a donor to give us money to give out those blankets because, it's got to come from somewhere.
So that's true.
That's the purpose of it.
That's true. Yes. So tell us all about the things that Nora does. Now, Lord has blessed you with this wonderful facility on 55th Street and in Cleveland. And it's a beautiful facility.
Well,
so
thank
many.
You.
It's a huge facility, two floors, spacious, a lot of rooms, but also there's a food bank there.
Yes.
Tell us about your food bank and how you help so many others.
Oh, my goodness. So the food bank started out very, very small with us. There's a beautiful kitchen there, commercial kitchen, mm-hmm. and they had a food pantry or food bank emergency giveaway before we came. And so we had a relationship with the food bank, and over time, it just blossomed. And so when COVID came about, the Cleveland Browns contacted us and they wanted to give out 40,000 pounds of food.
Okay. Okay.
And so they had this big old truck with all this food, and we had volunteers. And the funny thing about it, we didn't even have a lift. You know, the thing to lift all those. So people got out and started slowly pulling the food down in front of the building. And what's his name? Chris Hubbard from the Browns. Mm-hmm. A very good guy who also is an advocate for mental health and things like that. He spoke for NAMI not too long ago. He was there with his son and his, I guess it was his colleague who works with him. And it was just a beautiful time. Got to meet him. Got to meet Dr. Jones from Carolines. But we gave away every ounce of that food, 40,000 pounds.
40,000 during COVID, pounds.
And you know,
it's beautiful,
and it was great because it was frozen, and they just had it all together. Yeah. We just had to give it away, and we did.
Wonderful,
and we did.
Now, see, things like that is so rewarding.
Yes,
it's so fulfilling to be able to just give, receive, and then give it back out to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, people just started coming and pitching in together to get it off the truck,
mm-hmm.
and just distribute to those who are in need.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it hits, you know, it's unfortunate that it hits all walks of life, but it's able to reach all walks mm-hmm. of life. Because when I was out the other day, I saw all different walks of life
that
coming up.
That was so nice of you to go out there
and
be a part. No, that was nice.
You can't sit back and watch. You have to help. You've got to do something.
That was, very kind of you. I know you had work to do, but you took time to go and see about someone else. So, you know.
It's what God has called us to do. Mm-hmm. It's what he's called us to do. And we've answered the call to make sure that we reach out to somebody else and take care of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So before the building on 55th Street,
mm-hmm.
where was Nora located prior to that?
So we have a Lorain, Ohio office. We were down in Midtown on Prospect, the administrative office. But our first, one of the first facilities we had, we started in East Cleveland.
Okay.
Started in East Cleveland.
Okay.
And then, like I told the young lady earlier, moved. We were on a street called Everon. It's not even, I think the building's not there anymore. And we then we purchased a facility on the west side, Sober Housing for Women on West 73rd. You know,
nice.
We went to Cleveland Heights for a while.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just working itself out. And now I want to build something. I want to build something like this. Like, look how fresh this looks. I want it to look like this so when people come in, they can say, hey, like, you know, bright lights and cheerfulness.
Uh-huh.
And we have some water for them and fruit for them.
Uh-oh.
And they feel good.
Uh-oh, look out. She's got another vision.
Look out. Yes, praise God.
That's wonderful.
That's what I want to do. And I want to do it right where we are, close by, so they can walk over and go to Friday Night Live. They can go to the pantry if they need something. Somebody in a crisis, they can stop in and talk to somebody in the peer room.
That's all one stop.
We want to be right there.
Tell us about Friday Night Live.
Did you know I started it?
Tell us about how you started it. Tell us about
Oh, my gosh. So Friday Night Live actually started before COVID because we have this facility and I feel like it should be utilized. And Friday night was a night that I partied. And when I got clean,
most people do.
You know, when I got clean, I needed somewhere to be. And so my home group, they call it home group and 12-step program, my home group was on Friday night.
Okay.
And because it kept me safe. For years, I could get paid and go to my meeting and go home. I didn't have to, like, be out there with all of the element. And so I created it because I wanted people to have a place to go. I know that if they have a speaker and some food and some raffle and fellowship, people are good.
Yes.
And that's what we do. But I also wanted it to be not just for people in recovery, but for other people that may be dealing with something where they can come in and every speaker have something in terms of encouragement. Like, we had a grief counselor. He used to be my pastor. Halton lost his son.
Oh, okay.
And he came in and he talked about, like, I'm in recovery from grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just one day my son going to the clinic was taken from me. And he got a wife and children and all of that.
Okay,
so he, when he shared and people, somebody else out there said, I'm dealing with grief.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. We open it up so people can be vulnerable. Because so many times we suffer in silence.
We do. We need to be more open about the things, not judge people when they want to come out. That's why a lot of times people keep silent, because they feel that they're judged, like suicide. They don't talk about it. And I'm just such a proponent of, let's talk about this, because we can't help them if we don't know.
We don't know.
And then when they do share with us, don't try to give them solutions or, well, it doesn't affect me like this. This is what I would do. This is not you. Listen to hear what they need.
What they need.
And then offer some helps. Try to get them to where they need to go, because they may need professional help.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's right. That's right. And I need to say, our African-American males, African-Americans, period, but our males as well. It's a stigma. It's almost like a mark of shame or discredit, but it shouldn't be that way.
Right.
Because of, if you think about the trauma that not just African-Americans, but anyone, but particularly African-Americans have gone through, it's a trauma and we got to heal from it.
That's right.
And so all those generations of suppressing all those feelings, and let's not forget the genetic factor.
Yes, you know, can't forget that.
The genetic factor.
What's been going on in the families, the generations.
Yes. So we have to feel comfortable. And that's what I want the organization to be, a place where people can feel comfortable and that they can come in. And like one gentleman was in an episode, but he knew to come back to Nora. Even in his, like he had on his flip-flops and stuff from way out of town, but he was right there. And it took us a couple hours, but we got him in the car. And he got to the hospital and he got what he needed just for that day.
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. See, that's you have, that's what's, you're so creative and innovative, and the way when people want to come back, you try to make a way for them to come back. You know, even though they may have gone through the process or they may have fallen off, because some of us, we do relapse and have that problem, but you still try to find a way to come on back. Let's get you the help you need. You know, always trying to make sure that those who want the help can get the help. And those who don't know that they need it, you know, we still have our outreach program. We have our outreach with,
yes,
with
we do.
And you know, with Larry Heller.
Yes.
He's out there. He's out there.
Everybody loves here, Larry. But
Larry, he's out there and he is pounding the pavement and he's trying to get the people in off the street.
Yeah.
And that is so noble. Yes, that's such a noble work.
Yeah. Someone said the other day, if Larry had not texted them, they would not have came to the, you know, to remind them about their appointment. Little stuff like that.
Yeah. That means a lot.
It means a whole lot.
Especially when you're out homeless and you don't have any family support and you have an alcohol or drug addiction. And you want to stop, but you don't have the means to stop. You don't have any supports, any help. And then someone comes up and they offer it to you. And you, just for those few seconds, you know, just for those few seconds, you say, yeah, I want the help.
Right.
Because you know it may not last.
Exactly.
And so he tries to capture them in those few seconds before it leaves.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's an angel.
Because, you know, we think that because of what's going on in the world right now with the pandemic and with unemployment and everything, but the substance abuse population is still growing. The substance use population is still growing and growing fast. Mm-hmm. Opioids, alcohol, all of the addictions are still there and they are increasing because people are having a hard time dealing with their own situations, and then when they look at the world and they see what's happening in the world, it just compounds it for them, and they just feel closed in, and they don't have anywhere to go. And they go talk to their friends, they're having the same problems. We're all having problems that are seeming to be coming in multiple waves. And then to have to be able to have a facility such as Nora to go to, because not only do you have the men's sober house and the house on the west side, the women's, the men's facility and the women's sober house on the west side, you also have another one. Where
Maple,
is that
Maple
one?
Maple Heights. We getting ready to go over there soon. Do our walkthrough so we can edify the facility and make it look even better. But Maple Heights is 21 beds, and we can have women. Single women, we take women with children, and aged out foster care young girls. We haven't started marketing for them yet.
Okay.
But I want to work with them, and I want to help them get into school or get some employment or the and or the skills or all of the above.
Yeah, aged out young girls.
18 to 25.
Okay.
Just read online about some young girl. I don't think she was a foster care child, but 25 years. That age is very vulnerable.
Yes.
Very vulnerable.
Yes, it is.
And we can't be telling our kids at 18 they have to go. Not.
They're not ready.
They're not even ready,
you know, if they're living at home with parents.
They're not ready to go. Not at all.
No.
And I have to remind myself about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too.
It's just a number. And different people are at different stages of learning and maturity and all that, education, financially. They're just not ready. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, they're not. And seems more, even more now, you know, what is it they say now, the 30-year-old is the new 20, you know, everything is 10 years back.
Well, that give me a little youth here. Okay, I'll take that. I receive that.
Yeah, but that's wonderful work. That's wonderful. And then you guys are in the school with the prevention program. Mm-hmm. You're in the school. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Finally, yes. It took some time. So we're in Shaw High School.
Okay.
Working with the schools. I think FDR. We're in FDR. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to make our way to Glenville.
All right.
So, because we're right there. Yes, we're in the schools because the children need resiliency skills. Mm-hmm. Our children, they're watching the news. You know, think about the things that's going on in the news. That's trauma. That's stress on their mental capacity. They're supposed to be out playing kickball and jumping rope and stuff. And instead,
like we did.
Yeah, they're hearing about mass shootings.
Yeah.
And, you know, and COVID and George Floyd and all these things that, I mean, we've always had things to happen. But, you know, it's just like getting real close here.
It is.
You know, like you said, stuff right here in our own city.
Yeah, the shooting that just took place earlier last week, you know, or this week, you know, it's in the city of Cleveland. It's so sad. Everything is just hitting so close to home, and babies are getting killed right in their beds. And right, for our children to have to witness that,
right.
You know, their sibling, their loved one getting shot in their sleep. And then we want them to come to school and learn.
Right.
But we got to help them work through that emotional trauma that they just experienced.
Correct.
They can't learn.
Correct.
You know, you want them to sit still and focus and pay attention. They've got to handle things that even adults can't process and handle.
Yeah, and they're preoccupied with the news and what happened next door or even upstairs for that matter, right?
Right, 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 exactly. So it's a lot. Domestic violence right in the home. They're witnessing, you know, some horrific things in the home.
Yes.
Very, very troubling is what they're seeing now. So, yeah, so we have to provide those services in the school. We need as much for our babies as we can give them. Because they're dealing with a lot.
Agreed.
And not to mention getting bullied, too.
Yes.
You know, by each other,
and
their peers.
Tempted with substances, you know, all that. It's a lot of peer pressure.
Yes. You know? So the discussion comes up a lot. Mm-hmm. Which comes first? Is it the mental health problem or is it the substance disorder, the substance use? Which comes first? Is it because of they have the mental health problem or the depression and the anxiety that starts them to drinking? Or is it the drinking that comes first and the smoking?
Magic
the
question,
trauma,
right?
That
loaded question.
Out.
Loaded question.
Is it loaded?
Personally, I actually think it could go either way. Yeah, I do. I think there's some people that truly have the trauma experiences or psychiatric disorders, and they medicate by substances to cope. But I also think that there are some people that have that pick up socially, and it turns into something else because of their genetic background or socialization, what they're doing. And then the brain chemistry changes, and now they're addicted. And, of course, we know what addiction comes, there's a psychological component to it, too. So now when I don't have it, I don't feel good because I'm dependent upon it.
That's right.
So it's like kind of, it just depends.
I agree.
It just
It depends on, yeah.
We be thinking, though.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And it depends on what side of the fence you're on at that time, you know, what the situation is going on in the family or your friends. But I agree. I see both scenarios of that taking place, a lot of that. A lot of that. And so there's so many dynamics, so many different areas to provide services and help for those in the community. So let's talk about, you had mentioned resources. We were talking about resources in the very beginning, how the various entities such as the Adams Board and OMAS and all these other programs being able now to make more things available for the communities. Has that been more prevalent since COVID, since the pandemic? Has things opened up more, or have it kind of tapered off? What are you seeing that's happening more in the community from these entities?
Well, I'm a very honest person. I'm going to tell you what I really believe, and it's really sad because I believe that with the opiate crisis, that the floodgates of dollars started to open up. And addiction has been around for a long time. And I think that I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. I tell people, let's while we have the attention, you know, of the legislators and congressional leaders, let's not complain too much about it. But I think that there's so many things we could be proactive. We need to know that drugs are here and that they are around. Okay. And that they're going to ebb and flow and wave. Cocaine is coming back. Okay. We need to be ready for that.
Yes.
And we don't need to wait until we keep losing our children and our loved ones to put things in place. And someone said this to me, if we can get a rocket to the moon with the 0.0% accuracy, we can keep drugs out of our neighborhoods.
Yes, we can.
Okay?
Yes.
So what's the priority?
Right.
What is the priority? And we need to hold people accountable when we vote for them, you know? So, you know, yeah, there's a lot of money, you know, we're trying to take advantage of it to put things in place, but we also need to know that at some point it's not going to be there. And what are we going to do then? So we need a real comprehensive plan, and I don't think we should wait for the next epidemic
happen.
Yes,
that's true.
Be proactive.
That's true. So how do we keep it going with the, because it starts in the government with legislature, as you mentioned, our local, just our local, not to even mention getting to the federal level yet, but just local, city and state. What are some of the things that we can do as a community to kind of get in those places and try to help, you know, help promote those things that we need? I mean, they're aware of it, but we need the voice. Our voice isn't there.
Coalitions.
Our voice isn't there.
Coalitions. Right. Coalitions help. You know, people pay attention to where the energy is. So if the energy is saying, focus on this, I hate to say it, if you want my vote, you need to pay attention to what's important to me. And so
that's true.
Make some noise. When the homeless people start making noise, people with HIV start making noise, they start putting money there. So, you know, it just works like that.
Yeah.
But just being organized and professional, being able to articulate what's really happening. But people in recovery need to speak up too and not be so anonymous. And we need to deal with the stigma and the shame. And early on, that's real hard. Because of, you know, the things that we did when we were doing what we was doing. But after a while, you know, I had to tell myself, if I don't speak up and say I'm a person in recovery, how do they know it works? So I had to put a face with it. So here you have it.
Here you have it.
And there needs to be more of me.
What helped you to speak up? What helped you to move forward from behind that? As you say, the shame and the stigma.
To work on myself on the insides, and I start to feel good about myself and not carry the baggage of my past with me, because that's who I was. It's not who I am. And that God that's restored right. me. He don't want me back there. He wants me to go forward each day. You know what I mean? He made me even then. And so he brought me out, and I don't need to stay there. I need to go forward. I had to forgive myself and love myself. and build my self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And once I got it, I don't let nothing interfere with it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, because it's hard to always feel, you know, good about yourself. I feel good about myself. Well, I didn't always feel like that. I didn't always feel like that, though.
Yeah. But I do. Yeah, because you have those people that, you know, and even if you didn't have an addiction, we still hear those voices because we've all been out in the street at some point in our lives, right? Well, I remember you when you were way back, when you did this.
Yes.
You're not that person you claim to be because you used to do this.
I know it all, and I tell it all. I tell it all. You know, for the most part, I won't tell you all, but I tell it all. Like, I have none of those kind of secrets. It's all out there now. Yeah. And do what you do with it, because I'm free.
That's right.
I'm free.
What they always say, you tell it, so somebody else won't have to come and tell it.
Yeah, I'm free from all that. He's forgiven me.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. That is good. So that's encouraging for someone who may be watching or know a family member or friend who is struggling with an addiction or struggling with mental health issues. What would you tell them? Look to the camera and speak and tell them what advice you would give them to help
to the
them
family.
To the family and then to the person.
Okay, I'm going to talk to the person first, then the family. So to the person that's struggling with addiction, I will tell you to believe in yourself and put one foot in front of the other. You know, create a relationship with God and ask him to help you and to help you with the part of you that don't believe what is needed to be believed so that you can move forward. But it's that relationship with God, and just don't give up. I would tell the family member that we are dealing with a different animal/disease these days. And I'm really a witness to this, and you can witness this, that I was doing a training for families because with cocaine, marijuana, alcohol, we used to tell people, you got to reach your bottom. Mm-hmm. Well, nowadays, we didn't need to do it then, but we really don't need to do it now, because the bottom could be a kid, child walking out that door and getting some drug that's laced in fentanyl and not making it back. So it's different. And I'm a witness to that as of May 7th. In my personal relationship with some neighbors, you know, and the whole dynamic of trying to help the young man that passed away. So it's just very different. We have to support that loved one and be there for him. I'm not saying totally enable, giving them your money and things like that, but certainly just being supportive and loving on them. And it's hard because you get angry and frustrated and you just feel like, you know, you're not going to take advantage of me. I'm going to put you out. But just, you know, do the best you can and take care of yourself through Al-Anon and NAMI for people that have that are taking care of folks with mental health disorders. You know, just do what you can do the best you can.
Yes, that's good, because we did used to say you've got to let them hit rock bottom. You know, and that just seemed to me so awful. Mm-hmm. Why do they have to go to rock bottom? Mm-hmm. And the philosophy or the thinking behind that was that, well, they don't want the help until they get down so low where they can't help themselves anymore.
That's ludicrous.
But you're saying no.
I'm saying, I tell Nora staff, if you a clinician and have skills, you need to motivate them to help bring that bottom to them. Mm-hmm. That's our job. So they can't see their cells sometimes because of the disease. So if we are a true clinician, our skill set should be in a place, and that's why we do the trainings, is so I can help you see what you don't see right now over a period of time. That's my job. Right,
exactly.
So that challenges me to be a better clinician.
That's right, because we are supposed to be able to perceive things and see things with our skills and our training to help them, because they don't know.
They don't know.
This is what they have been doing every day in and out for how many years? Mm-hmm. This has become a part of who they are. But we want to show them that you are more than that. There's more to life. There's a different way. There's a better way without the drugs and the alcohol. And so you're absolutely right. We got to bring the bottom up.
Yes, there you go. Bring it up to them. Yes.
I like that. Yes. I like that.
Bring it to them.
Yeah.
Let them get there. They can get off anywhere. with our support and our, you know what I mean, with our knowledge.
Right. Because like you mentioned today, with the fentanyl being laced in all the drugs, the bottom could be death.
That's my point. Yeah. That's exactly my point. The bottom, yes. For many, it is.
It is.
So we don't want that.
Because fentanyl, is they're putting that in Adderall, the drug for kids, for people who have ADHD. They're lacing it in all types of prescription medication. They're lacing it in everything. And the bottom is death sometimes. Yeah. It's fatal. It's really fatal out here now, yes, beloved. It is. It's really serious with the drugs. You don't know what you're getting. Even in the marijuana, you don't know what you're getting.
You're absolutely right.
You don't know what you're getting. They're lacing it with so much deadly chemicals. You don't know what you're getting.
It's not the same. Mm-mm. As it used to be. Just can't toy around. Mm-mm. With nothing.
No.
Absolutely nothing.
No. Yeah. No. Abstinence.
Yeah.
Abstinence. That's the best way. Yeah. Go without. But you can't do it by yourself.
That's right.
You can't do it by yourself. You just heard this woman speak about how God was in her life. He saved her.
Right.
Okay. Once she became aware that she needed his help. He was just waiting. Just waiting. We think that we can do everything in our own strength and power, that we're self-sufficient, but we're not.
Not at all.
No, we're not. No. He says for us to come to him, all who is heavy laden, and he will give us rest. Mm-hmm. We have to go and seek him for that rest. For that rest. So this time, by the holiday weekend, mm-hmm. I know that our outreach is probably really busy during the holiday.
Exactly.
Trying to get those in who need the help and who want the help. And because with the change in the seasons, with the weather mm-hmm. and the holiday, they're just so vulnerable.
You understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Phones will be ringing Tuesday. Well, it might ring over the weekend because we got the hotline.
Yeah. That's right. Yes. We do have a hotline number. Is that something we can share, the hotline number?
Yeah. Well, if they call the 216-NORA, 216-391-NORA, 6672. 216-391-6672. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Our hotline that you can get through and get in if you need to get in for help, because we are here to help you at NORA. I am blessed to say that I just recently came on board a couple of months ago as the new clinical director there, and it has been a wonderful experience. It really has. God is using me in another way. I still do the private practice, praise God, but God has also blessed me with working side by side with this wonderful woman of God, who he has just empowered her to do so much. She does so much.
Thank you.
She's just such a outreach. She just really has the hearts and souls of men and women on her mind. And so I just want to commend you for all you do, because I know sometimes as an executive, things can get pretty heavy. And when everybody coming to you and all the employees, not to mention you're still out forming relationships in the community and networking and doing so many things, and everybody knows who you are. And they do. And I've not heard any negative comments at all. All I've ever heard is positive.
Thank you, Laura, for that one.
All I've heard is positive, and how, she has NORA. She's really working to help people. And I hear is good things. Everybody knows you. So I know sometimes the weight gets a little heavy. So what do you do to help yourself when the weight gets a little heavy? What do you do for fun and excitement to help to relieve some of the pressure sometimes?
That's good. So I used to have a lot of fun, you know, going out and doing to the dances, sober dances and all that good stuff. But to be honest, now my fun is relaxation. I love to travel, so that's fun to me. But I usually am just laying around on somebody's beach, reading. And I will admit, haven't been to church since COVID.
Okay.
But I watch a couple different people online, including my own church. And so just kind of like talking to God. My walks in the park. Is, listen, I walked off 22 pounds during COVID. And started, I was feeling better too, feeling much better.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but that's really it though. Like, okay. Yeah, traveling is fun.
Traveling? Have you hit all 50 states yet?
No, actually, no. I'm a Caribbean girl. I love the Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like the Caribbean.
Okay.
I think my ancestors from the island somewhere.
Okay, yeah. Well, that could be something to explore and see how that has all come together.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That might be fun.
That's right, because it's, it could be in your blood, you know. A lot of things are passed down through the generations.
Interesting.
You know, that motivation that you have, that energy that you have, that vision, and how you like to help people, that came from somewhere, too.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
And I'm hearing all that, too, with your daughter. Share again what you said. Your daughter, she graduated from college, and she's getting ready to get started.
Not even a year at EA Sports. Okay. So she went to Michigan State. She's a finance marketing business in the School of Business major. And she, so she did her, she started out in finance, like some of the, what they call them, big fours, the accounting firms.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And she didn't really care for that, a little too quiet for her. She likes the marketing, gets her juices flowing. She's actually doing some stuff on YouTube. She's in the health food. She'll be here on the 11th.
Okay,
maybe we could go to
here.
The drug court is doing yoga in the park on July 11th, I think at Edgewater. So I'm gonna, we're gonna go down to support her.
Yes,
so
I
she's
did
the
see
facilitator.
That. I did see
she's
that.
Coming to town to do
Wonderful.
That for them. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That'd be great.
She was heavy in school. She started out throwing shot put and discus. She lost the weight and became a sprinter. And it was just kind of,
that's fantastic.
It's weird. Then she went to college and went back to throwing. They wanted her to gain weight. And she said, I'm done with this. I'm not like going to be gaining weight and muscle just to be. She's like, I'm done. But she's still into sports and healthy eating.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She gets on me all the time.
Yeah. Once you make that shift, that transition away, and you see the difference in how you have more energy and you feel so much better. Not to mention you like the way your clothes fit now.
Yes.
It's hard to go back.
Yes.
It's hard to go back.
That is true.
Good. Well, I'm glad you mentioned drug court. That was the one I wanted to talk about too. Drug court. We've got a lot of involvement with drug court, with juvenile as well as adults. Tell us about that.
Oh, the drug courts, all of them are wonderful. Judge Lauren Moore, we work with her mostly with the drug court and the mental health court. I recently met the veterans court judge, and then there is a trafficking court for, what's it called? Sex trafficking. Yes. And then there's the juvenile court. So, so they refer to us, and we help manage the clients.
Wonderful.
We help manage their clients and good relationship, good partnership. And so a lot of people can, their records are, I guess they're discharged if they stay clean for 2 years and follow the recommendations of the drug court. It's a wonderful program because some people just get caught up and deserve a second chance.
Yes.
So it gives them a second chance.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If they do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah. So we have to monitor
that.
That's what Wallace was calling about, making sure the urines are right and, you know, all of that stuff. So
screening, and maybe it's time for to get some monitoring done, you know, alcohol monitor, and so that make sure that they're staying compliant with what they need to do, so that they can get the benefits later on down the road.
Correct.
So that's good. So many different. See, that Nora touches all aspects of one's life, all aspects. Whether if you have, you know, had some imprisonment, some jail time, if you, you know, had some way where you've broken the law in some way, or just need some place to stay to help you to get back on track with sober living, or if you need treatment, we have the treatment facility. We have IOP programs to be able to help you to stay focused. We got the prevention in the schools. There's just so much. How do you do it all?
Tired. With people like you coming to help me. Okay, I tell people, they think I'm Nora, but I'm not Nora. We Nora. I'm Anita. No, I need lots of help. Good people around me. So that's how I do it. When people come in and see what I'm trying to do, and they buy into the vision. Yeah, that's how it's done. Because it's certainly not all me. I have tons of ideas.
Yes, you do.
But I cannot operationalize not one by myself.
Yes, you do. You okay. have a lot. Were you always this creative when you were young growing up? Did you have a lot of ideas?
I'm
going
to be honest, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not. Uh-huh. I haven't changed much.
Uh-huh. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. But your parents would say, what are you talking about now? What's going on?
Yeah.
You remember back those times when you were creative?
My mom.
What were some of the stories you had back
then? My mom just used to tell me, listen, sweetie, you need to slow down and smell the roses. Like, because I went, you know, just when I was in school, I was volleyball, I was track. You know, sometimes I did a little basketball, but basketball was during track season. Mm-hmm. And I worked at the theater, and I had decent grades, good grades, actually, really good grades. I mean, I was just like
A student?
Yeah, but you know the truth. You want to know the truth of that? Mm-hmm. What I realized is that I was doing all of that at the time because I was just trying to kind of like running from all the stuff going on around me. So I just stayed busy. And it became who I am, you know what I mean? And so now I've learned to balance it out. But those ideas haven't, that part don't stop.
Right, they
keep
flowing.
That part don't stop. So
you were always in multiple things at once.
Yeah, I think the word is just kind of like, one of our board members used visionary, but just like having a little ambition. I see something that's needed, and I just feel like, hey, let's do it. Let's try it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's try it.
Yeah, you're a thinker, and you like to see how you can create spaces and create things that the other person don't see. See, you see things that other people don't see.
Yeah, that's true. I tell people that too. Mm-hmm. I have examples of that. That building.
Tell us that one.
Yeah, I have someone to say that they would have voted no on the building for us to move forward with it. But it's like sometimes I can't explain what he does. When he puts it here, it's like, hey, we can do this. And they was like, no, things ain't looking right. I don't think we should do it. And I'm like, obstacles, including someone passed away during the whole, you know, trying to close. Mm-hmm. And it opened the door for us to move forward. Because they had a little block there. And it's really sad.
It's unfortunate.
It was definitely, it was definitely. But, yeah, I have people to say they wouldn't have voted yes for that. But I see it, and I see the new building.
All right.
The new house or whatever, duplex or for the, I see it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I see the parking lot over there that we're going to get for ourselves. I see it. Mm-hmm. God willing, day at a time.
Yes,
yeah,
time.
Yeah, good. If the Lord say so.
Yes.
If the Lord says so. That's just what Anita's saying. But if the Lord say so, it'll happen.
It's in his will.
Mm-hmm. It'll happen.
Well, if he's giving it to you because you have that gift, you know, of discernment. And so if he's giving it to you and then you're a visionary, in his time, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. So you can't get tired yet. You got a little while longer. Got to run on a little while longer.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
But that's good, though. You're doing all. It's be such a great legacy. We always think of legacy just for our children. But you're leaving a legacy for those who are in need.
Praise you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord.
And we need more of that in our communities. You know, the underserved communities. There's so many disparities, medical disparities, and mental health addictions. You know, we have gambling addictions. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about that much, but that's a big one.
Yes, it is.
We don't hear a lot about it, but it's there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's there. And the sexual addictions, that's there.
Yes, it is.
There.
You're right. Food.
Food, that's right.
Food, everything.
Mm-hmm. Shopping. Let's talk about that retail therapy.
That too.
I hear people naming it the retail therapy.
Yes.
But they're all real, and we all need that resource, that support. You're the support. You're the hub in the communities. You're setting up hubs that people can go to when they need the resources, or they can be referred to when they need the resources. And by you networking with so many people, if they can't get it done, they know who to come to get it done. And that's the beauty of it. And that sometimes I would imagine that's how it gets heavy.
That's how it gets
a little heavy sometimes.
Yeah. I have to balance it out. Sometimes some things I just can't do or respond to.
Because you're only one person.
Right.
You're only one person. And self-care. I'm a big proponent of self-care. Self-care is very important. So you've got to make sure you're managing that properly. Mm-hmm. Getting your time away, whatever it is, mm-hmm. like you know, with your family or your husband or just yourself. Because, you know, from time for us, we like the quiet times, the down times to help to revive us so that we can come back out and do all that you do. Because I tell people all the time, they don't believe me. I'm an introvert. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to be an extrovert.
Really?
Yeah, but I love my quiet.
You do well. You do very well.
I love my quiet
downtime. Very personable.
Well, thank you. I love my quiet downtime because that's what helps me to come back out.
Same here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same. Mm-hmm. I do that in the morning. I wake up and have a little quiet time. Then when I come in, I try to have a little quiet time and go through my emails, and then I'm ready. Yeah, then I'm ready.
And God is always first. He's always first. So I don't make moves without talking to him first.
For you.
Yeah, I have to. He's so important because I know I'll mess it up. I'll mess it up every time. So I have to consult him just like this vision, this here with the studio. I had to talk to him about this and how to move forward with this vision that he gave me. I didn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank God. And I thank God for KAZ Radio TV over there. I thank God for Pastor Larry James because I was like, Lord, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to do it?
You're doing amazing.
Just step out.
Encouraging me. This is awesome.
Step out.
Give me ideas to have some of our directors come in and talk about what they do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they would love it.
Absolutely. Yeah, this sounds good. Well, this has been
this your ministry.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Praise God for that. Praise God. Praise God. I want to do more. I'm like you now. I got another vision. I want to do a little bit more.
Good.
I want to do a little bit more. We'll see what God says. Okay. Yep. I want to do a little bit more with it, but I thank him for what he's given me. And I thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So before we go, would you tell our audience when we have our food drives and give us your address, give us Nora's address again and they can come down.
And I'll do the best I can. Let me see if I can get this one. So, 1400 East 55th. We're near the corner of St. Clair and 55th. And we have on the third Friday of the month, every third Friday, there's a vegetable giveaway. And we have an emergency pantry. You can come in anytime for that.
Okay.
And then the regular food pantry is twice a month. And I can't remember which. So it's one of them is, let me think. She just said on the 11th.
11th, yes.
On the 11th. So it's the 11th of June. It's the opposite. Yes.
Week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have the giveaway. So
every other week.
Okay. And anyone can come in at any time and ask for food, and we will get it for them.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thanks to the food bank.
Yes, thanks to the food bank. And Friday night.
Friday night live at 7 o'clock.
Friday night
live. At Nora's, same address, 1400 East 55th. There is always an encouraging speaker. There's always something to eat afterwards, and there's fellowship and a raffle.
Okay, yes. That's right. I'm coming up on July 8th, I think, for the speaking.
You going to speak?
Yeah.
We've had a lot of phenomenal people speak. Yeah. Yvonne Pointer and had a gentleman from Michigan come in, Andre Johnson, working on his PhD, good colleague of mine. Just so many people have come in. Pastor Halton came in and shared about his grief. So it's just phenomenal. You never know what you're going to get when you come near. Mm-hmm. And it's four people in recovery, but we all recovering from something. You know, even if it's just divorce or somebody passed away, you know, just something. It's a lot to deal with in life. But God is good and he's able, right?
That's right. Okay. He's more than able.
Yeah,
he's
more than able. That's right. That's right.
Yes. Well, this has been great. I thank you so much for coming on, Women of Purpose. This has been wonderful. I enjoyed you so much.
Thank you. I feel better now.
Yes, had a chance to just let it go. Let it all go and relax and share. And just share about the goodness of the Lord and how he's using you to help so many people. He's working through you. And it shows and our community it's better for. And I thank you for it. And I thank you for the opportunities that you gave me also. Yeah. I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
So thank you. All right. Well, beloved, you've just been watching myself and Anita Bradley. If you have a loved one or a friend who is in need of some help regarding substance use or mental health services, feel free to reach out to NORA, N-O-R-A. You can Google, or it's Northern Ohio Recovery Association. And 1400 East 55th Street. And the phone number again is 216-391-6672. And so there are resources available in the community to help you. Don't do this alone. You'll be more successful if you welcome in those who are able to help you. Sometimes we need professionals to help us to find the right paths that we need to get on. It's there, beloved. God has put it in you. You sometimes just need help to bring it out. So we are here to help you. And so I just want you to step out on faith, because God loves you and we love you too, beloved. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. So I love you to life. I pray that you have a safe and wonderful holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Love someone, love on someone, reach out to someone, and help someone. And God bless you. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care.